Welcome to Canada's National Bible Hour. This is Brian Albrecht, your host and president of Mission Go. Today our scripture is taken from the book of Isaiah, chapter 55, verse 8, which says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are my ways your ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." This verse really sort of always puts me back in a humble position because I realize that, you know, as smart as we may think we are, or as competent as we may think we are, this verse brings us down to earth. And we realize that our thoughts are not like God's thoughts. His are so much greater than ours. And his ways are so holy and so righteous and so pure, and ours are not, that it sort of puts us in our place. And it sort of brings us to the place where it humbles us. And it makes us come to the place where we confess our sins. And we realize that God is Lord, and we are not. And we need his lordship in our lives, and we need to know what his will is for our lives each day. And we need to follow him to the best of our ability and allow him to speak to our hearts and clean up some of those areas in our life that are sinful and unclean. He needs to help us to become more and more righteous so that we become more and more usable and exercise more and more faith. And we can do that by realizing that God is so much more powerful, so much smarter, and he's always present with us all the time. So he knows all our sins, he knows all our thoughts, he knows all our bad deeds. So you can't get away from him, so you might as well repent. You might as well give in. You might as well just let him be the Lord of your life. Let him be the master, you be the slave, and just do what he tells you to do. And if you do that, God will bless your life, God will open doors for you, and God will meet your need. This is a radio edition of Global Times. Today we have in our studio Martin Stamm, who has tremendous ministry among truck drivers all over Europe.
Nita and I, we had a British brand, LDV, for 1 year, then it was worn out. But we were standing there in Stockholm, and we were having a cup of tea there together, and a lady knocked at a window, and she asked me, "Do you speak English?" And I said, "Well, I try it every day." And then she said, "I have a problem with my car. Can you help me?" And I was wondering why in the world I'm asking me. I have a Dutch license plate there. I'm a Dutchman, and they're all around. They're all Swedish people, and she asked me. So I thought this must be something from the Lord, and I took my gearbox and I went to her car and I fixed it. And then she invited me and Nita to their house of their parents. She is my age, but she was there with her parents. And what I'm talking now about, it's 12 years ago or 14 years ago. And she invited us to in the house of the parents. And I said, "Well, we can do that," but I did not make a promise. And Anita was thinking of, yeah, we are heading south, and then we have to go north. It's in the opposite direction. I don't think we should do that. But I said, perhaps this is the hand of the Lord, so let me go north. So I came there in a little island, and on the island there, they do not have addresses. So I have to find out where she lived. And I asked people, and finally I found her. At least I found a place where her parents had their summer house. And I drove upon their property, and this father of her, he is original a German, he came outside and he said, "Was machen Sie hier? What are you doing here?" And then I told her that I came for her daughter. And then he turned around and he was very friendly and he said, "I will call her because she is with friends." I said, "Well, don't do that, because if she is with friends, I will not disturb that." "No, no, no," he said, "she will take the friends also." So the friends came, and Ebba came, and they were talking about a lot of things, money, vacations, and everything. And I was sitting there and I was thinking, when is my turn? Because I had a much more important message than they have. So finally, there was a little hole in the discussions, and I dropped in and I explained the gospel to them. And it was funny that this lady came to our door, and now I was explaining the gospel to her father, her mother, the neighbor was a doctor, and his wife, and there was someone else, and this lady. The next morning, to make a long story short, she came into our mobile home to say goodbye, and I asked her to come in to have a cup of coffee together. She went out as a Christian. So every year when we are in Sweden, we are visiting with her. We are visiting with her, and it's always a joy to meet her. But when we were thinking about the Lord Jesus, went across the Sea of Tiberias, the Lake of Galilee, to the other side, he went there through a storm to meet one person. And that's what, these are things that I have met had many times. I remember a day that we were in Jönköping in Sweden on a parking place, and it was a small one. There were no trucks at all, but we were standing there and having a cup of coffee together and have a little bit rest. And then a Dutch truck approached and stopped on the parking place. The driver apparently had a lot of depression. He jumped out of the truck and he went between the trees, and he was going behind the very big tree. So I patiently waited until he was finished. And I said to him, may I introduce myself to you? I was a truck driver myself, and I will tell you that God had changed my life. And then he was flabbergasted. He said, I am not a truck driver. I said, no, you are not. He said, no, I am a bookkeeper. My brother has a trucking business, and once a year in my vacation, I take a trip somewhere. And now I got this trip to Stockholm. And now I'm here because I needed to stop, and I meet you, and you are telling me about God changing your life. He said, I am wondering for months, what is life all about? And now you're here, I'm in Sweden. The only way that you and I meet together to now must be done by someone. He said, this is not by accident. So I was able to explain the gospel to him, and I gave him a Bible. He wanted to have it. And then we had to part because he had to do his work. But in this instance, I saw that the Lord is always looking for those who are in need of learning to know him. And then he is able to take this feeble, sometimes doubting person to be there in time and open my mouth to say something. I see that in that the greatness of God. It's not me, it's He. But who plans the meetings together on these occasions.
I call those divine appointments.
That's right. I'm not so good in English as you are.
Well, thank you so much, Martin, for sharing with us. And the Lord bless you. We're so thankful for your ministry. And we know that you've affected thousands and thousands of people over the years. And the Lord bless you. Your faithfulness over 30 years is just a real testimony to your character and to your desire to share Christ with truck drivers, which is your ministry. Lord bless you. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much.
Bye-bye. Thank you for listening to Canada's National Bible Hour. As you're aware, this is a listener-supported program, and we cannot continue to be on the air without the support of our listeners. And we really encourage you to write in and let us know how the Lord is working in your life through this broadcast. And if we can be of any help, prayer requests, please let us know and we will be praying for you. This month we're offering a wonderful pamphlet on the book of Hebrews. As you are aware, probably Hebrews is the second hardest book in the New Testament to understand after the book of Revelation. This booklet really outlines it well. The supremacy of Christ. It talks about the day of about the Melchizedek and the high priest. Talks about Christ's superiority over angels, and then also has the Hall of Fame in it, and has that chart, which is really nice. It's members of the Hall of Fame and what they did and how encouraging that was to me just to look down across that. So this is a booklet that I think that can greatly help your Bible knowledge as well as your walk with the Lord. As we realize that Jesus is the great high priest, it's an encouragement in suffering and other things that are listed there. And it also has a great appeal to serve the Lord and to be all that we can be for God. And I think it will draw you closer to God as you study the pamphlet. You can get this pamphlet by writing into our office. You want to write to Canada's National Bible Hour, Box 1210, St. Catharines, Ontario, L2R7A7, or in the United States at Box 2010, Buffalo, New York, 14231. Today's message is from Reverend Art Larson and is entitled Wits Ends Corner. Printed copies are available upon request.
She was the largest, most luxurious ocean liner of her time. Some even boasted that God himself could not sink this mighty ship. The Floating Sensation sailed from Southampton, England in the spring of 1912, bound for New York City. She inspired awe and wonder in the hearts of all who gazed upon her. Her passengers came from all walks of life. Poor immigrants pursuing the American dream boarded her decks, as did prosperous, elite people flaunting their lavish lifestyles. For several days of smooth sailing, her passengers enjoyed elegant dinners and nonstop festivities in surroundings fit for royalty. Those on board were making history, and in style. And then on the evening of April 14, the Titanic received numerous warnings of icebergs ahead, and throwing caution aside, the captain pushed the mighty ship to her top speed, attempting to arrive early in New York City's harbor. At 11:40 p.m., the ship's side swiped a huge iceberg, gashing the hull. No one was prepared for what happened. Water began pouring in. Many passengers refused to believe disaster was upon them as they continued their pursuit of pleasure. Warm and comfortable in their lavish staterooms, they were unaware of the brutal reality soon to confront them. And as the ship began to sink, people scrambled to find space on the limited number of lifeboats. Those unwilling or unable to escape were dumped from the lap of luxury into the new icy grip of the North Atlantic Ocean. Of the 2,231 passengers on board that night, two-thirds plunged to a watery grave. The world's greatest ocean liner descended 12,500 feet straight to the ocean bottom, dragging with it millions of dollars of diamonds, jewelry, and fine art. Rich passengers perished beside poor crew members, dreams of the downtrodden and fortunes of the upper crust drowned together. Death came swiftly and unexpectedly for over 1,500 people. It's a tragic story, and I'm sure if you or I had been on board that Titanic that fateful night, we would have been at wit's end, not knowing what to do. You know, there's a story in the Bible about a situation like this at sea when people were at their wit's end. But the story has a much better ending. In fact, it has a happy ending because they did not sink and go to the bottom of the ocean. They did not die. They ended up at their desired haven. And it's a story that describes what you and I should do when we're at our wit's end. We should do what they did. Listen to the story. It's found in Psalm 107, beginning at verse 21. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing. Now listen, they that go down to the sea in ships, that do business in great waters, these see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. For he commandeth and raiseth the stormy wind, which lifteth up the waves thereof. They mount up to heaven, these waves. They go down again to the depths. That's the ship going up and down with the waves. Their soul is melted because of trouble. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man and are at their wit's end. And what do they do? Well, verse 28 says, then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he bringeth them out of their distresses. He maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. Then are they glad because they be quiet. So he brings them into their desired haven. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. You want to read that story again? Mark it down. It's in Psalm 107, verses 21 through 31. Yes, in the midst of that storm at sea, these sailors were at their wit's end. And sooner or later, we arrive at our wit's end in one situation or another. We come to the place where we're really at the end of the rope, as it were. We don't know which way to turn. Well, the psalmist knew something about this. And in a most vivid, true-to-life description of a storm at sea, he describes how God sent the storm. It was a terrific one. How the sailors were at their wit's end, and because of this, they turned to the Lord in prayer. They entreated him to help them, and God heard and answered their prayer and stilled the storm and brought them to their desired haven. It's a very simple story, but it's an absolutely true to life as we apply it to everyday life. Sailing along in perfect calmness, everything seems to be going right, and then the storms come, and the troubled, storm-tossed travelers are at their wit's end. I came across an interesting poem about that. Someone who had experienced it had written, "Are you standing at wit's end corner, Christian, with troubled brow? Are you thinking of what is before you and all you are bearing now? Does all the world seem against you and you in the battle alone? Remember, at wit's end corner is just where God's power is shown. Are you standing at wit's end corner, blinded with wearying pain, feeling you cannot endure it, you cannot bear the strain, bruised through the constant suffering, dizzy and dazed and numb? Remember, at wit's end corner is where Jesus loves to come. Are you standing at wit's end corner, your work before you spread, all lying begun but unfinished, and pressing on heart and head, longing for strength to do it, stretching out trembling hands? Remember, at wit's end corner, the burden bearer stands. Are you standing at wit's end corner? Then you're just in the very spot to learn the wondrous resources of him who faileth not. No doubt to a brighter pathway your footsteps will soon be moved, but it's only at wit's end corner that the God who is able is proved." Someone has said, don't get discouraged. It may be the last key in the bunch that opens the door. Am I speaking to you today, my friend? Well, then, listen carefully as we seek to apply this story of a storm and being at wit's end to know what to do when you're there. Now, the situation they were in and the solution that they found and the salvation that resulted is just as applicable to your life or mine in whatever situation you are in today. I don't know exactly what's happening to you, but it says that these people were at their wit's end. There is another storm, and the Bible's full of stories about storms and Jesus calming them. But there's one in Acts 27 when Paul was aboard a vessel with 276 people on the way to Italy, and they encountered a storm. And in verse 20, it says, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. Luke is the writer of this. He was with Paul and his evangelistic party, and apparently they just felt there was no hope. All hope was gone. Have you come today to a place of despair, of extremity where all human help has failed? Perhaps it's something to do with your health or a legal problem or in your marriage or problems in your home, even with your family or your children or your parents or your grandparents. Perhaps you've been through the valley of bereavement and someone very dear to you has passed away and you feel desolate, alone, and helpless. Man's resources are inadequate. Nothing more can be done. Oh, yes. Yes, it can. One very great thing can be done. You see, you can turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. You can receive Him as your personal Savior, and then you can ask for His help. And He will give it. Because, you see, no one understands like Jesus. He lived here in a human body and experienced the same things you do and I do. And so He understands. You see, how do you know that? Well, Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 to 16 tells us that we can come boldly to the throne of grace because we have someone who is a great high priest, who is touched with the feeling of our infirmities, who was tempted in all points like as we are, apart from sin, without sin. So we can come boldly before the throne of grace to obtain mercy and to find grace in the time of need, just when we're at wit's end corner. You see, you can turn to the Lord and ask for His help, and He will give it. He promises that. How often the Lord just allows us to come to the end of our rope, to our wit's end, so that in our dilemma and despair, we may really turn to Him. The situation they were in, and the situation you're in today, may seem like a wit's end corner to you, but that's the very place where the God who is able is proved. So we move from the situation to the solution. What did they do when they came to wit's end? Well, verse 28 says, then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble. Then, when they were at the end of their resources, what did they do? They prayed. They related their need. They rehearsed it to the Lord, and He immediately helped them. Now, if you go through the Bible, and I want to do it very quickly with some stories of people who were at their wit's end, you find it, for example, in Exodus 15, verses 23 to 25. Moses was coming to his wit's end. The children of Israel were disgruntled. They were in the wilderness wandering, and they were dissatisfied and full of murmurings, and they had come to the bitter waters of Marah, and it was a tremendous problem for Moses. What did he do? It simply says he cried unto the Lord. Think of Hannah in 1 Samuel chapter 1. She was at her wit's end. She longed to have a child, but she was barren. So what did she do? She prayed unto the Lord. Think of the story in 2 Kings chapter 4, where Elisha was at his wit's end. You see, the Shunammite woman's son had died. She beseeched him to help her. What did he do in his predicament? He went in, shut the door, prayed unto the Lord, and God restored the life of that boy. Think of Hezekiah when the king of Assyria, Sennacherib, was threatening him with invasion. What did he do in Isaiah 37? Well, he simply went in alone with God and prayed to Him. Think of the early Christians at their wit's end in Acts 12 when James had been beheaded and Peter was in prison and likely also to be to be beheaded, and they were at their wits' end. Well, prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him, and God released him. Think of Paul and Silas at midnight in that dark dungeon in Philippi, in that jail. They prayed and they sang praises unto God. You can do the same thing, my friend. Psalm 50, verse 15 says, call upon me. God is speaking. He says, call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. Now notice what happened when they called on the Lord. These sailors cried to the Lord, Psalm 107, verse 28, in their trouble, and he brought them out of their distresses. Notice that it was after they prayed, and the Lord brought these people out of their distresses in answer to their urgent cry for help. He did three things. He made a great calm at sea. What does the Bible say? Oh, great peace have they who love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. He not only brought a great calm, but he gave them great gladness in verse 30. It says they were glad because of the calmness that came. And the Lord will bring great gladness to your heart, even as you pray, though the answer may not have come yet. You know it will come. Jesus said, I've spoken these things unto you that my joy might remain in you and your joy might be full, John 15. And then he brought them safe home. There was a great calm, there was great gladness, and there was a great homecoming. They were brought to their desired haven. You see, man's extremity is God's opportunity. So whatever your problem is today, whatever your perplexity, your difficulty, your burden, just do what these sailors did in Psalm 107. Commit to the Lord yourself and all your troubles, and trust him to see you through. And if you're at wit's end corner, prove him. One writer said, and this is so beautiful, Lord, just today I read that Paul and Silas were stripped and beaten with wooden whips. Again and again, the rods slashed across their bare backs. In their desolate dungeon, their feet clamped in stocks, they prayed, they sang, they praised. In this misty midnight of my life, imprisoned in a dungeon of confusion, bound by chains of anguish, help me, please help me to pray, to sing, to praise, until the foundation shakes, until the gates fling open, until the chains fall off, until I am free to share the good news with other chained, bound prisoners.
I know the message you just heard will be a real blessing to you throughout this next week, and I trust that you apply some of the principles that were mentioned to your own lives, and I hope it'll draw you closer to the Savior. Here at Kansas National Bible Hour, our big concern is that listeners not only have faith in Christ and grow in their walk with Christ, but also there are many that listen to us who don't have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the most important decision on earth while you're here is to receive Christ as your Savior. The gospel is very clear that all of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's not one of us that's holy, not one of us that does right, thinks right, is right, and so we need a Savior, and the only Savior is the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and life. No man comes to the Father except through me. He's the only Savior. Because of that, he's the one that went to the cross. He's the one that bore your sins in his own body. He's the one that took your place on the cross of Calvary. He's the one that purchased you or redeemed you by his own precious blood, and you receive him into your life by asking him to come in. You have to receive him. God has given us a perfect gift. It's the Lord Jesus Christ who did all the work on the cross, but you have to ask him to become part of your life and turn your life over to him. Also, remember to order your copy of the book of Hebrews. You definitely want to get a copy of this book right this week at Canada's National Bible Hour, Box 1210, St. Catharines, Ontario, L2R 7A7, or in the United States at Box 2010, Buffalo, New York, 14231. You can also visit us on our website at missiongo.org. And please continue to remember us in your prayers, and may the good Lord bless you throughout this next week.